Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
We're going to get the lowdown from Arizona, where the NFL is holding a couple of days of owners' meetings, and all the coaches, all of the general managers on hand. It's AFC, it's NFC. It's just another moment where we get to pick their brains, right? Because we haven't done that enough since the Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. And then you can also find us on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. I know a bunch of you have been responding to our latest video, which capitalizes on spring bling and spring things. The most compelling, most entertaining, most perfect format when it comes to postseasons and sports. Which one offers you the most bang for your buck? So check it out on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to some basketball coming up. Pair of one seeds in the women's game, actually, seeking spots in the Final Four. And also news about Rodney Terry at Texas, plus a little bit of brouhaha in the NBA. The Dallas Mavericks playing again. Is Luka any happier? But we have promised you the latest from the desert as the NFL league meetings land in the same spot where we had the Super Bowl going back now 6 weeks ago. And we're pleased to welcome Rob Motti to the show for the first time. He's the lead NFL writer for the Associated Press. And I got to tell you, Rob, around the country, shockwaves when Lamar Jackson shared on Twitter that he has requested a trade out of Baltimore. So there in Arizona, where you're insulated with everyone in the NFL, was it as big of a shock, as big of a story as it was elsewhere?
Oh, big time, Amy. Let me set the scene for you. So the 7:45 a.m. breakfast for the AFC coaches is everyone's gathered around, and most of it, like, there's a ton of media around the Jets table for Robert Saleh, because you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, right? And then you start seeing people gravitating and going over towards John Harbaugh and the Ravens, because, like, Lamar drops this news on social media, on Twitter, just as John sits down to speak to the media. And I don't know if it's coincidental. I don't know if it was timed on purpose. But John handled it about as professionally as can be. But that dominated that segment, right? It goes from Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets, and now everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, Daniel Snyder is such a hot topic, even though he's not on the agenda for this meeting.
What did Harbaugh say then as you all are communicating to him this bombshell from Lamar's social media?
Well, of course, he's got to say the obligatory, "I didn't see the tweet." And we're like, well, of course not, because it just dropped. But he said he loves Lamar. He's planning as if Lamar is going to be there. Great player, great person, great leader. And, you know, I thought he actually did Lamar kind of a solid, because he goes, he's doing a great job handling his own negotiations, because there's been so much criticism of Lamar handling without an agent, and John Harbaugh says that he's doing a great job, and he basically said it's not a problem with Lamar, it's a monetary thing, and I think we all understand where Lamar's coming from. He wants a fully guaranteed contract because he saw what Deshaun Watson got last year. Now, no other team other than the Browns since has given a quarterback a fully guaranteed contract. So this is one of those cases where you can understand both sides. Lamar sees himself as more valuable, more accomplished than Deshaun Watson, certainly without the legal trouble that Deshaun Watson was going through. Why can't I get a fully guaranteed deal? And then the Ravens look around the landscape, see no one else is giving these fully guaranteed deals out. Lamar also has been prone to injury the past 2 years, and they haven't even reached an AFC championship with him. So there's no right or wrong. I can understand both sides. That's actually what I'm writing today.
that's great because it's certainly going to be a topic of conversation moving forward. But just what you know of the NFL and the QB chessboard, as I call it, Rob, are there actual places where the Ravens might trade him?
I really think his only option is going to end up being Baltimore. It's hard for a team to come in and want to negotiate with a non-exclusive franchise tender, knowing that more than likely they believe the Ravens will match. And if they don't, then they're giving up two first-round picks. So you got to ask yourself, are you willing to lose two first-round picks, or would you rather, if you're in a position, to draft a young quarterback, build around them, and develop and try and win with a quarterback on a rookie contract? You saw where the Eagles got to with Jalen Hurts. You see how the Bengals and the Chargers have had success with a quarterback on a rookie contract. So I don't see a team coming in and wanting to sign Lamar and risk that possibility. A trade could be worked out where the compensation is less than two first-round picks, because if there is a trade, it doesn't necessarily have to follow signing the tag. But then you start looking at all the teams and you go, who can fit at this point? And so many of them have ruled out Lamar, whether they've leaked it here, there, or somewhere else. There's teams where you go, oh, well, he could fit with the Commanders today. They say we're not interested. He could fit with the Indianapolis Colts. And even though Chris Ballard today said anytime there's a great player out there, you got to investigate all options, I've already reported that the Colts are not interested. We know that the Panthers traded up for the number one pick. So I think, Amy, when all said and done, his best option is they're going to have to kiss and make up and end up back in Baltimore.
Rob Motti is with us from Arizona, where we've got the NFL owners meetings taking place for a couple of days. He covers the NFL as the lead writer for the Associated Press, and it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What else made big news? I guess it was the Aaron Rodgers lack of a trade, but what else is happening in the league?
I think the news of the day in regards to Aaron Rodgers is twofold. One, it's Joe Douglas from the Jets saying that they've made progress. And then it's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst saying that they may not necessarily get a first-round pick, which I think most of us to this point realize, like, you got a guy who said he's 90% going to retire and then decided to come back at 39 years old. That's not first-round pick or 13th pick overall is what the Jets have. Worthy. So I believe that they're going to have to end up on some sort of a second, a third, and maybe a conditional, Amy, to where if Aaron Rodgers leads them to a Super Bowl, then a second becomes a one next year, or if he plays X amount of years, because there's no guarantee he's going to play more than one season. He goes year to year. So the Packers are going to have to accept some sort of conditional deal, conditional picks, but I can't see it being a first-round pick for 2023 for sure.
Do you believe the Jets when they say there's no urgency to get this deal done, or as Rob said, to add a veteran QB?
That was before I ran over and heard him say that, and I'm like, all right, that's great. That's what the face you're going to portray. You got to say that. You need Aaron Rodgers in the building. You got to get him familiar with the, I know he's played under Nathaniel Hackett and he knows the system, but you want to get him over there. You want to get him in the system. You want to get this wrapped up, sealed, delivered, because until it's done, it's not, right? Anything can happen in the world of sports. I think that there is some sort of urgency to have this get finished, finalized before the draft, especially if there's going to be draft pick compensation. You need to know what you have and what you don't have in 23, 24, whatever it is. And I think it will, Amy. I think it will get done. I think they say there's progress being made. It looks like the Packers have come to a realization that they can't hold out for as much as they want. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is done within the next week to 10 days.
It's interesting because you compare those two big storylines, Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers, and what a tough sell it's been to get the deals done. But then you think about Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow and how it's been so quiet around them, even though those two guys are in line for major deals. Anything from the Eagles or Bengals? Anything about how close they might be to those extensions?
Eagles GM Howie Roseman today said it's a priority for the Eagles to extend Jalen Hurts, which is, we knew that coming in. They got to get this done because they got to be able to figure out how they're going to allocate money, salary cap, everything going forward. They were fortunate enough to get to this point where they went to a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts at a second round pick salary. Now it's time to get paid. And as great of a job as Howie Roseman has done over the past decade or so, and he won a Super Bowl in 17, this might be his toughest assignment yet. They lost a lot of talented players in free agency, and now Jalen Hurts is going to command 40, 45, 50. If Daniel Jones can get $40 million a year, I think Jalen Hurts can be well within his rights to ask for $50 million a year. Now you got to figure out how you can construct a roster around the QB making that much money. I know the salary cap continues to go up, but I think the Eagles will get it done. And I kind of feel like each quarterback and each agent is waiting for the other deal, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's smart, isn't it, Amy?
It like is.
You want, hey, if you see Jalen get X amount, well, Joe Burrow is going to want more. And then Justin Herbert is going to, like, if I had to rate them, I would say Burrow should get the most and Hurts should be right there with them. And then Herbert third. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I would anticipate all three get done before training camp.
From Phoenix, AP lead NFL writer Rob Motti is with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned actually the Commanders, Daniel Snyder. How much of a priority is this for the NFL that they can get that issue and that sale done?
Yeah, I think it's a big-time priority, and even though he's not on the agenda for discussion, he has been a hot topic of conversation. Everybody wants to know what's happening with him. I will give you a little bit of news that I did report today, is that although there's been rumors and different groups that are interested in buying the Commanders, it has yet to reach the point where Daniel Snyder has accepted anyone's offer and then presented that bidder to the NFL, and that would be the step. So no matter who wants to bid on buying the Commanders, he's got to eventually accept an offer, then submit that bidder to the NFL for their approval. So it hasn't reached that point. So it's not in that imminent status that some thought it was as recently as a few days ago. So nothing's going to happen during these meetings. The hope is that something can get done by the May meetings in Minnesota.
Who else attracted a lot of attention in Phoenix on Monday?
Jerry Jones.
Oh, gosh.
Right. It's Jerry. People are always going to flock to Jerry. And the Giants, Amy, too, because John Mara spoke and he said he wants Saquon Barkley to be a Giant forever. He mentioned Eli and he mentioned Tiki. He mentioned Michael Strahan. He also said they haven't ruled out Odell Beckham Jr. And he would love to.
Whoa.
He said he's going to leave it up to the coach and the GM, but if he had a say in it, he would certainly favor that. So it got a lot of Giants fans excited, and then some said, well, we don't want to go down that road either.
Speaking of coaches, I'm not sure if any of the new ones are on hand there. I know there's a lot of people excited about what DeMeco Ryans can do in Texas. How do you see that pairing between the Texans and Coach Ryans?
I just had a chance to speak with DeMeco for a few minutes at an event, and I've always thought since his days playing in the NFL, and I got to see him for a few years when he was in Philly and I was there, I thought he was certainly a guy who was positioned well to be a leader of a team like this. Chip Kelly loved him as a player and thought that he had all of the intangibles and everything that you look for in a coach. And they need players. They need pieces around them. I think he's the right fit. This is a third year, third straight new head coach for the Texans. I know that the front office has been in disarray and there's been a so many issues involving that franchise. I think they got their guy now in DeMeco. So I'm excited to see what he can do, but he's going to need a franchise quarterback too.
Rob, before I let you go, in addition to covering the NFL for the Associated Press, you have a show called Faith on the Field. I just saw it on your Twitter. What is that? What's your show all about?
Amy, Faith on the Field is my passion. It's a show I launched several years ago in 2017 on a radio affiliate, a sports radio station in Philly. It has since grown to, I believe we've been on over 11 or 12 sports stations across the country.
Nice.
And my wife is my co-host, and I interview a different Christian athlete in professional sports now that I cover the NFL predominantly, it's been a whole lot of NFL players. But we talk about their faith in sports and how the intersection of that has helped them get to where they are, what their faith means to them. And it's been awesome because I've never had a player actually say, no, I don't want to sit down and do that interview, whether it was Tua Tagovailoa, Brock Purdy, C.J. Stroud, most recently all at the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson. He's been on a few times. It's been a who's who, Hall of Famers, everybody, and it's just a great opportunity. And we don't sit there and preach and beat anybody over the head with a Bible. We just talk about what their faith has meant to them in their lives, and we try to give people inspiration, hope, and motivation, and find peace and joy in things that aren't worldly. Find their peace and joy in someone, and for me, it's my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I got to tell you, following the scare with Damar Hamlin, it was pretty incredible to hear it from every locker room that they were praying for him, to hear guys like Josh Allen talk about the conversations that were taking place with teammates around faith and what that looks like. And then, of course, to see the miracle of his recovery. And even now, the talk about him getting back on the football field, it's incredible. So it was neat for those few days to hear NFL players who very often are putting their health and even their lives on the line. And they have, they have this kind of moment where they realize, hey, like there's something bigger than what we do on the football field. I thought was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. Now, I thought it was an opportunity where the country really came together in prayer for someone, for Damar, and it was prayers answered. It was miracle being played out right in front of our eyes. And it's so great that Damar understands the platform that he's been given. You mentioned Josh Allen. I think of all of the players who talked about it and related faith to it, he gave me goosebumps when he spoke that game and said, hey, I was going up and down the sidelines after, I guess it was Nyheim Hines' second kickoff return, saying, God's real. And I was like, man, what an awesome moment. So I love that.
Yes, that was amazing. And I love that he was so open about it, too, that these emotions that kind of caught him off guard. So, yeah, that's so cool. So you can check it out on Twitter. Find Rob at Rob Maddi, M-A-A-D-D-I. He's the lead NFL writer for the Associated Press, joining us from Phoenix, where the NFL's going through its owners' meetings. But also the show is called Faith on the Field, the variety of stations that you can listen to it. Rob, it's great to connect with you for the first time. We'll definitely have you on again. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure, Amy. Thank you so much.
It is astounding to me in this business that we're still finding people after, this is now year 11, after more than a decade of doing this job with at least one interview, four nights a week, usually five, sometimes more interviews if we have different topics that require guests or I feel like are better with multiple voices. And we still come across people that we've never had on the show before, that I had never connected with before. And so good. They're so good at what they do. I love the personalities. I love being able to hop around the country and interact and connect with various voices and minds and personalities. And Rob Maddi is a keeper. We like him a lot. So good stuff. Think based in Philly for quite a while, maybe in Tampa now. Well, in Arizona now, but Tampa could be his base. And how about hosting a show with his wife? Yeah, I don't think that's in my future, hosting a show with a spouse. I'm too much of a control freak when it comes to my radio show. That would not work. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A little bit of basketball ahead. Why? Well, the Dallas Mavericks are trying to stop their backsliding into the depths of no postseason hell and the thought of losing Kyrie Irving, right? Because his contract is just for the remaining part of this regular season, whatever playoffs will come. Are they in a better mood today? We'll find out after Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Luka left wing, no double team, turns to his left. cross court, Hardaway, touch it, Bullock, right corner three, that's where he wants to shoot from, and he makes that shot in a timeout by the Pacers, and the Mavericks match their biggest lead of the night. Neal Aquina to McGee, fakes the handoff, McGee on the drive, to the rim, and the spike! Oh, man, he turned the corner and soared and slammed. The rebound tipped ahead from McGee to Hardy. To the right to Kyrie. Pulls up for the wing three. It's good.
Yeah, good push by Dallas.
And Irving with 14 points. And the Mavericks up by 8. Wara at the right wing spinning. Hardy reaches in. Luka gets the steal. Here comes Luka pulling up. He'll shoot the three. And down it goes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chuck Cooperstein and company on Dallas Mavericks Radio. They end the slide. The skid goes 4 games, and they've managed to right the ship a little bit. They get this victory on the road in Indiana. They're still on the outside looking in, and that is the big picture right now, is the Mavericks are not even in the 7-10 tournament. They're on the outside. But these are constantly changing, very fluid standings. Tomorrow it will look something completely different, right? Because Golden State has now slipped back into that 7-10 tournament. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they are out of the tournament, even though the play-in, even though Minnesota and Golden State have the exact same record. But if you missed it on Sunday night, the Timberwolves, well, they eclipsed the Warriors in the late stages. They were able to survive that trip to the Chase Center. And because of that, at least right now, they're ahead of the Warriors in the standings. So this can change minute to minute, night to night, with just a handful of games left for each team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, Jason Kidd had been torching his team over their lack of effort and what he called a lack of interest over the last couple of days.
The guys came out from the jump ball, executed defensively and offensively. And from that point, once we got control of the game, I thought, again, another thing that we've normally let leads, you know, get, you know, chopped in half or given up a lead. I thought the guys did a great job of building the lead and keeping the lead.
And they did that coming out of the halftime locker room. So not only did they win the first two quarters, and they actually outscored the Pacers by 10 in the second quarter, they picked that up. They kept up the intensity through the halftime and also outscored them by double figures in the third quarter to build what was a nice lead. Luka Doncic, last we heard from him, frustrated, thinking about another suspension for a 16th technical. He ends up with 25 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, not nearly as pissy on Monday night.
I let my frustration go out a little bit more than I'm supposed to on the court, you know, but I was just focused now on getting wins, helping my teammates, you know, because we need wins.
Yeah, channel that frustration, that emotion into making your team better. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league. I know sometimes his emotion gets the best of him. It does for other great players as well, but the team needs him to be locked in and using all of his energy toward basketball. Kyrie Irving ends up with 16 to go along with 6 assists. Is anybody paying attention to the story of Jaden Hardy? Because it's become pretty impressive now. 20 points for him off the bench, and he continues to point to both Kyrie and Luka as teammates who are bringing out the best in him.
Playing with them both, they both get.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
Give me confidence, you know, just always in my ear trying to help me, asking them when I'm out there on the floor what they see, and then them just telling me, you know, and it helps me when I'm out there.
So for him, as a rookie, it's got to be a boost to play alongside Kyrie, even for this, what I presume will be a short time. So the Mavericks still on the outside looking in, but get that win to end the skid. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Also in the Western Conference, red hot right now are the Minnesota Timberwolves.
They're the best two-point shooting team this year and in NBA history. Nas, a right side three, cans it. That's a big-time shot. The Wolves lead by 6. A little bit of momentum with 8:34 left to play. Conley now off to Gobert. Kick out, Ant, left side three on the way. Oh, it's a big-time shot. by Anthony Edwards. Fine time for his first three of the night. Anthony Edwards puts the Wolves up 7, 108-101. Ant with it, crosses over to the baseline, rises up, kicks it far side. Anderson up top, McDaniels, he'll take a run down the lane. He rises and throws it down over Domantas Sabonis. Big time finish by Jaden McDaniels. He's got 19. Timberwolves lead 114-104 with 3:46 left.
And they're able to hold off the Sacramento Kings. And this is a big deal because for Minnesota, as I just told you, it keeps them out of that 7-10 tournament. What it also did, at least for the moment, it's everything's likely to change again. What it also did is prevent the Kings from clinching. So the Kings were attempting to, on their own court, lock up a playoff spot, first time in a long time. And they're still going to make the postseason, barring some calamity, which I actually think is impossible for them to not make the playoffs. But for De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes, there's a little disappointment because they were hoping to do it and reward the fans who have been so faithful.
Guys wanted to clinch a playoff spot at home. Wanted to share it with our fans. But like I said, at the end of the day, regardless of where we do it at, I think it's going to be, people are going to be appreciative and people are going to love it.
The fans have been great all season. They've been great since I've been here. So obviously, you know, it's disappointing for them. But, you know, as a team, like I said, our focus is just continuing to get better every single day. And while this was a missed opportunity for a lot of different reasons, you know, we will continue to press forward.
The Wolves have now won 4 in a row. The Pelicans, this cracks me up, have won 5 in a row. And so they put themselves in position now where they're nipping at the heels of the Warriors. So let's go over this logjam in the middle of the West again. By the way, Alan Horton on Timberwolves Radio. Okay, so here's how it looks. The Kings are likely to clinch next time they play. Okay, so they are sitting in 3rd in the West. The Suns are in 4th. Their record is 40-35. From the Suns in 4th through 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So you're talking about all of those teams from 4 through 11. Just 3.5 games separating them in the standings. That is insane. So here are the Pelicans who've won 5 in a row and 7 of their last 10. And they're only a half game back of the Warriors. The Warriors, who had won 4 in a row, they drop a game against the Timberwolves on Sunday, right? And now they've dropped back into the 7-10 tournament because they've switched places, essentially, with the Wolves. The Suns are in danger of being caught by the Clippers, who are hot on their heels. And the Lakers, even though they lost their last game, are actually back into the 7-10 tournament because the Mavericks on the outside looking in. I mean, it's really very convoluted and fascinating.
I've never seen anything like that.
I haven't either. 3.5 games. All you have to do is win 2 in a row or lose 2 in a row, and your playoff position drastically changes.
And I mean, this is wild because you got the play-in tournament, obviously, with the new rules all the way down to 10. Imagine if this was just the 8. I mean, it's absolute insanity for the Western Conference and how bunched up they are, and there's not a lot to play. But again, any loss now really does.
Right.
I mean, any loss could be the difference between going to the playoffs and not, and which crazier, not only going to the playoffs, being a 6 seed or being out. Could be one game. Sitting there and waiting for your opponent or being gone from the playoffs.
Oh.
We're not just talking the play-in tournament. We're talking, you know, seeds of Suns. I would like to think that they're okay.
I mean, they're 40. They're 40-35.
Right, but for a playoff spot, 3.5 with like 6 or 7 to play. I would like to think that they're not going to be not in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most teams have like 6-7 games
right.
to play.
So you're talking 3.5 games with a 6 game. I would like to think that they make the playoffs. That's too many teams that have to be hot at the exact same time. They're probably playing each other.
Right.
So I'd like to think the Suns will make the playoffs, but they're looking at home court right now, and they could go from home court to play-in, and that's not out of the realm.
No.
That's nuts.
They're only a game and a half out of the play-in tournament.
That's
in
nuts.
4th spot.
So you got a team that could be right now looking at the 9, playing the 8-9 matchup, and all of a sudden they could wind up as the 4th seed and have home court. It's nuts.
So this is, like I say, it makes me giggle. It's so comical that the Pelicans win 5 in a row, and they've now put themselves in the 8th spot. Jonas Valanciunas is talking about this 5-game win streak and what it means to potentially set them up for the postseason.
We play with energy. We play with, you know, we play together. We play together. We enjoy basketball. So that gives us, you know, extra motivation. We're playing for something. So I think everybody motivated, everybody have a goal. That's what leads us.
Say the exact opposite of the Dallas Mavericks. We're having fun. We're playing together. We're motivated. We've got something to play for. Jonas on Bally Sports New Orleans. So there is a lot that has yet to be decided. Four playoff spots already locked up in the East, but still plenty of jostling still to come there as well. Let's see. We're going to do some QB news at the top of the hour because there's more than just Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. How about Mike McDaniel? No, not Mike McDaniel. Well, Mike McDaniel, but he's not QB news. Hold on. That's actually really funny. He outs the Washington Commanders. They weren't the Commanders when he was there, but apparently they're cheapskates. Not so different than our company here, although we finally got free coffee machines again. Remember, Marco, they took them away for years because people were stealing the K-Cups. Mm-hmm. So now they've brought them back. I don't know if people are still stealing things, but I mean, there's plenty of an opportunity.
There's some K-Cups actually back there. Yeah, but that's not
back
really
in the kitchen.
Thing. Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you, Duncan.
Bloody does run on Duncan, yes.
Yes. So anyway, it's kind of funny that we can identify with Mike McDaniel is saying, and also one NFL head coach unfamiliar with Jordan Love. Ruh-roh. That's top of the hour. Coming up next, Rodney Terry gets his contract with the Texas Longhorns, and also a couple of top seeds trying to make the women's Final Four. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
Best.
Near side of the court, Amor bounces it. No, chest pass left for Trailer. Top of the arc. Hand off left for Soul. Dishes back up top, Amor. Works off a Kittley screen right. Always a threat to shoot now with five. Amor with four, drives in, bounces right side. Kittley, layup on the right side, and the harm. Kittley down low with a pass from Amor to make it a 69-60 Hokie lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, Matthew Chasnow with the call, and another first-time Final Four participant. This from the women's tournament. Virginia Tech reaches the Final Four for the first time in school history with a victory over Ohio State. This was in the Seattle 3 regional final Monday night. This is kind of funny. I spoke to my younger niece who graduated from Va Tech a couple months ago. I would be willing to bet all of what I'm worth. She has no clue that the women's basketball team is in the Final Four. That's how much my family is not tuned into sports, and I absolutely love it. So, in the women's game, it's slowly opening up for those who, for years, have watched and tried to pattern their programs after the likes of UConn, and then South Carolina, Tennessee, Duke. I could go on and on. Stanford, another women's program that's a power. What happened with UConn women's basketball, and that's where it started, though there have been some other powers along the way, it's forced the rest of women's basketball to raise their standards, their expectations, their recruiting, their training, their coaching. If you don't, you're not going to be able to keep up with the powers in the sport. And now here we go. It continues the streak. Seven times in the past 10 years, there is a first-timer. As much as men's college basketball is almost a level playing field now, and we think of the three first-timers in the men's Final Four, it's slowly starting to open up in women's college basketball too. So congratulations to top seed Virginia Tech and Elizabeth Kittley. 25 points, a dozen rebounds. This is actually the first time the Hokies have ever even reached the regional final, so they've never been in the Elite Eight. Kittley is a name to know. 6'6" center and the Hokies' leading scorer, and it was really her world in the second half. Everybody else was just living in it. She was dominating in the paint. This is really neat. I'm going to surprise my niece. Hey, did you know? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations to Coach Kenny Brooks.
You give them credit. Mike still got, she got hot early. You know, it seemed like no one was going to miss. But then the second half, we locked in, understood what we needed to do. The job that Kayana did on her and Kayla, they really made it tough for her. And then we just did everything else right, did all the little things. So very proud of them, very team effort. Tremendous win for this group, tremendous win for our university.
Coach mentions Taylor Mikesell. He calls her Mikesell, but that's Taylor. And she led the Buckeyes early on. She had 19 points in the first half. And so this was a challenge for the Hokies because they had to figure out how to contain her. So they actually held her scoreless for the first quarter and a half of the second half, right? So in women's basketball, they play quarters now. They went back to quarters. And she didn't score until deep into the fourth quarter. So much better job when it comes to the defense on the top threat for Ohio State. So the Hokies move on, as do the defending champions, the South Carolina Gamecocks. This is Dawn Staley's team, and they have been the top team in college basketball all year long. Aaliyah Boston is the All-American that really sets the tone for the Gamecocks. And so they're, again, in the Final Four. This was a matchup of number one versus number two, but because South Carolina is so good, it really was the pressure on their shoulders. So Maryland, good team, a number two seed. But South Carolina has been a buzzsaw, and Dawn Staley has got her team into another Final Four.
You got to get a little lucky, and you got to get some players that really believe in it and that are unified, that really see, honestly, the bigger picture. And that is rare nowadays, because a lot of times young people only see themselves and where they want to, what they want to accomplish. But when you get a combination of players who want those things, individual things, but they see the overarching, the big picture.
So Dawn Staley certainly knows she has changed the trajectory and the landscape of women's college basketball. She knows about participating as a player, the highest level. She went to three consecutive Final Fours as a member of the Virginia team. That was early 90s. And she also played for USA basketball. She's a fierce point guard. Fierce point guard with an expression that matches her talent. It seemingly always has a scowl on her face. I've had conversations with her before. She is intense. She doesn't even have to open her mouth and she intimidates you. But she brings that presence to her coaching, to the sidelines, and her teams feed off of that, including Aaliyah Boston, who is expected to be the overall number one draft pick in the WNBA coming up. I think it's next month. And so for Dawn Staley, the standard now is Final Four or bust. Championship or bust. So here they are in their third straight Final Four. Believe it's, let me think about going back farther than that, but it's their third straight Final Four, and they are the defending national champions. So it is their throne they are protecting. And they have, as I say, been relentless pretty much all year long. In fact, right now they're sitting at 36-0. So they're attempting to be the 10th team and only the fifth school. All right. So a lot of this was UConn, Texas, Tennessee, Baylor. They've all done it. Only four schools to this point, they would be the fifth school, have ever achieved that perfect record. So, yeah, it's impressive what she has done, turning South Carolina into a power and a force of force du jour, to be sure. Let's see. Third in a row. I think it's fifth overall. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go with that. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know that you will. So while we had no top seeds on the men's side, even advanced to the Elite Eight, we end up with a pair of one seeds on the women's side, and their Final Four is in Dallas. Men's Final Four is in Houston. So Texas is the place to be now if you like hoops. Speaking of Texas, the last we heard from Rodney Terry, he was bawling his eyes out.
I love these guys, and not only will I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them, I'm going to love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be I'll be with the, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn. And, you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group. And I'm going to really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys.
All right, first of all, I love an ugly crier. Ugly criers are the best. Second of all, real men cry. It's a thing. Just write it down. Real men cry over something other than sports. And
it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys.
I appreciate that he's not crying over the loss, right? He's not crying over the fact that they didn't make the Final Four, that they lost to Miami. He's crying over the fact that the Longhorns roster won't look the same next year and how much he loved working with them. And think about his perspective. This guy was an assistant for a couple decades, finally gets the chance to coach. He takes over for Chris Beard, middle of the season. Texas is in the toilet. It's a disaster, right? Because Chris is accused of domestic violence, blah, blah, blah. So Rodney Terry takes over. He's the interim all season long. He was trying to live in the moment, stay in the moment. He does that. The team advances all the way to the Elite Eight. I can imagine just this may be the first time he stopped to think about what they'd accomplished. He'd stopped to think about how it all played out. You know how that happens. When you're locked in, you can hold those emotions at bay for quite a while. But then the end comes and there's this cathartic kind of cleansing. And that's what was happening. I heard people making fun of Rodney Terry, and I think that's ridiculous. I love that he can express his emotions, and it's love for his team. And to that end, Texas knows what it has because Rodney Terry has agreed to a deal to become the school's full-time coach. Bravo, Longhorns Athletic Department. Rodney Terry reportedly gets a deal for 5 years, and he earned it, and he deserves it, and he can cry anytime on our show. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.